As we continue giving God thanks, I invite you to join with me in the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter. We're going to be reading the parable that follows the one from last week. We're going to spend last week, this week, and next week in Matthew chapter 25, looking at some of Jesus's parables, some of them that challenge us and that move us forward in our desire to become more faithful. So I invite you to hear from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter. I'll begin at verse 14 and invite you to hear now God's word. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then the man went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you have handed over to me 2 talents, and see, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things, and I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid. I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather what I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent for him. Give it to the one with the 10 talents. For all to all those who have, more will be given. And they'll have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. And as for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This, friends, is the word of God. For us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength, and our salvation. Amen. So I invite you to think about gifts that you have received in your lifetime. Gifts that have been given to you, gifts that have been showered down upon you, gifts that have celebrated your existence at a birthday or remembered you around the Christmas tree, or a gift or a Circe, as I like to call them, that's given for absolutely no reason at all. Thinking about those gifts, I'm sure, brings some sense of joy to your heart as you remember both the gift that you've received and the giver who gave the gift to you. I'm curious, though, as you're thinking about those gifts that you've received, if there's any of them, perhaps, that you've hidden away. Any gifts, perhaps, that you've received and hidden away. So you know that Kevin and I were high school sweethearts. The very first gift that Kevin gave to me was for my 16th birthday. And this package was wrapped in a nice paper with a nice bow on the top. And I opened up the package kind of excited because my boyfriend was giving me this special gift for my 16th birthday. And I opened the box, and I was a little taken back by what I saw inside. Because what I saw inside were all of these bright colors that immediately started screaming at me. And so I pulled out of the box this shirt that, in Kevin's graciousness, was probably two sizes too small. And it was what I envisioned Joseph's coat of many colors to look like. In my 16-year-old generous, grateful heart, I'm sure I thanked Kevin. And that shirt found its way to the bottom of my closet, never to be worn and only to be a memory that is laughed about to this day. In our passage of scripture this morning, we find a generous master. A generous master that's getting ready to go on a trip. And as he gets ready to go, he decides to give his slaves a gift before he goes. To the first slave, he gives a gift of 5 talents. And to the next, he gives a gift of 2 talents. And then to the third, he gives 1 talent. Now, the word talent is not the word talent like we talk about gifts and talents, the things that we're good at, the things that we're able to do, our ability to sing, our ability to help other people. It's not the talent of something that we're good at. The word talent here comes from talantin, which means actually it's a sum of money. It's a sum of money, and in a New Testament understanding of money, it's perhaps the largest sum of money that one could acquire. In fact, a talent, an individual talent, is worth 15 to 20 years' wages for a person. 15 to 20 years of a wage in a New Testament time for a person. So this first individual received 5 talents. 1 talent is 15 to 20 years' wages. So 5 talents, so you multiply that by 5, and you see this very large, generous gift that the first slave was entrusted with. James Howe, who's one of my colleagues, who's the pastor at Myers Park United Methodist Church in Charlotte, refers to these talents as a huge bucket full of gold. So it's as if this huge bucket full of gold to the first person was given 5 huge buckets full of gold, and the second was given 2 huge buckets of gold, and the third was given 1 huge bucket of gold. And then the master leaves. And those who've received this gift have to decide what they're going to do with it. Well, the one that received the 5 immediately went out and made his 5 into 10. And so instead of having 5 huge buckets of gold, now he's got 10 huge buckets of gold. The one who had the 2 buckets went and made 2 more buckets. And so there's 4 talents there. And then there was the one who received the 1 talent. Still a very large and generous gift. 15 to 20 years' wages was the sum of that gift. And that one man, or slave as the scripture calls him, took his gift and hid it. He dug a hole in the ground and put the money into the hole in the ground and covered it up and seemed to forget about it, to perhaps only see it as a memory that he thought of perhaps from time to time. So we have these 3 folks and their 3 gifts, and the master comes back, and the master comes to them, and the one who has the 5 comes running and says, "Look, look what I did with the gift you gave me. I multiplied it. And now I have this really, really large gift." And the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. And then the second comes and says, "Look exactly what I did. I did the same thing. I multiplied it. I took the abundance and I made it even larger. Well done, good and faithful servant." And then the third comes, and I imagine he had to dig out of the hole in the ground that 1 bucket of gold, that 1 talent that he'd been given. And I can imagine he sort of reluctantly walked up to the master. And he said, "I was afraid. I was afraid, and so I hid it. I hid this in the ground." And the master says to him, "You wicked and foolish and lazy individual." The five, the two, "Well done, good and faithful servants." The one, "You were lazy and wicked." Friends, from time to time, we encounter parables like this one that have some element of judgment in it. And perhaps it's a little uncomfortable to us, because perhaps we're not as comfortable hearing about the judgment that Jesus perhaps is teaching us of. Here Jesus reminds us, just like the oil and the lamps that were empty, the bridesmaids who had the empty lamps, the emptiness had an eternal consequence. Here the man that hid his gift in the ground had an eternal consequence. We may struggle with the reality of judgment, and yet it's what Jesus is teaching to us in these parables. Jesus is teaching us and reminding us that to be a follower of Jesus Christ isn't just simply enough to grab our ticket, as the old gospel song says, and ride. No, we grab our ticket by the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, and then our lives, our very lives, are transformed and changed from the inside out. Our salvation is simply by our faith in God and in the work of God alone. But it's not just enough to have the salvation of God by our faith alone. Something about us has to change. Something about us has to be transformed because of the salvation that God in Christ offers to us. When we have Christ a part of us, we should not be like we were before. Our lives should be different. We should be changed from the inside out. We should daily be trying to become more and more like Christ in our actions. Day in and day out, we should be growing in the fruits of the Spirit. In love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, daily those should be growing in our lives. And if not, says Jesus, the third slave, the judgment came. He hid what he received, and he had an eternal consequence. So I wonder what it is that we have hidden. What is it that we are afraid of? What if we put into the recesses of the ground that is around us, or into the floor of our closets? What is it that we have hidden? What have we taken for granted? What blessing that God has showered down upon us have we neglected and not been faithful in caring for? This week I have had the privilege of watching one of my friends, one of my clergy colleagues, her and her family, their wish come true. You see, they have a daughter who's in the sixth grade, and the daughter was born with a heart defect. And in Mariana's short life, she's gone through two major surgeries. And so after the last major surgery, which was before the start of this school year, the Make-A-Wish Foundation came to the Smith family and asked them if they would take advantage of letting Mariana's wish come true. At first, when the Make-A-Wish Foundation came to the Smiths, they were reluctant. They were reluctant to take a hold of this opportunity to make their daughter's wish come true. I can remember my friend saying to me, there are children in this world who are far worse off than ours. Maybe their wishes should come true. And the Make-A-Wish Foundation sat with the Smith family, and they said to them, "Any child who has gone through some sort of traumatic health condition in their lifetime, if they're between 2 and 12 years old, we invite them to make a wish, and we want to make that wish come true for them. Mariana's parents wanted to hide that opportunity, perhaps out of some embarrassment, reluctance. They wanted maybe to make sure that some other child had the chance for their wish to come true. But at the encouragement of the foundation, finally her parents agreed to let her wish come true. And this past week, they've been at Walt Disney World letting Mariana's wish come true. And last night, my friend Tony Ruth, her mother, posted this beautiful picture of their daughter standing in front of the Magic Kingdom in a sundress, because they're in Florida and it's hot. And in the sundress, you can see the scar on her chest from her two open heart surgeries. And Tony Ruth commented how proud she was of the boldness and the courage of her daughter to stand there unashamed in this dress that made her feel beautiful and special and all of her dreams coming true. And when Tony Ruth commented to Mariana how proud she was that she didn't want to hide that scar, Mariana says, It reminds me that God has healed me. Friends, what kind of blessing have we, like this family, received that perhaps we're reluctant to take hold of? Or we want to hide it behind something. But yet the boldness of a sixth grade girl that says, I am not ashamed, I am not afraid to take hold of my wish to be in Disney World and to let the world see my scar. Because God has healed me. A number of years ago, one of my dear friends' father was diagnosed with cancer. He was diagnosed with cancer just a few weeks after my own father had been diagnosed with cancer. And Mika and I had the opportunity to share this journey together as our dads faced surgery and her dad started to undergo treatment, and we had each other to talk to and to nurture and to care for. 2 years later, though, her dad entered the church triumphant. And I can remember feeling so guilty. So guilty because this journey that we had started out together, my dad was still living, and her dad had entered the church triumphant. And I can remember feeling like I just wanted to go into hiding. I wanted to go into hiding because I didn't know what else to do. And then my phone rang. And Mika asked me to come preach her dad's funeral. And so standing in the pulpit that day, I had the chance to offer God thanks for a father figure who had played a role in my life, who'd always made sure that tacos were there when I visited his house, who took his four-wheel drive vehicle the day that the snowstorm came and my birthday cake needed to be picked up. And he took his four-wheel drive vehicle to pick up my birthday cake. I had the chance to come out of the hiding and out of the place of reluctancy and the place of embarrassment and the place of shame and to stand in front of God's people and proclaim that God in Christ had now offered eternal healing to this man that I called Gerald. What, friends, what are we hiding? What abundant blessing has God showered down upon us that we, like that third slave, have dug our hole in the ground and hidden it deep below in order that no one will see or no one will know? The message of this text is to remember the extravagant, amazing gift that was offered by the Master. And in that same way, an amazing, extravagant gift was lavishly and lovingly and amazingly offered to the world. When God looked to the world and said, I love these people enough that I'm going to give my son in order that they might have life. The abundant blessings we have received. Are we embracing those blessings? Are we hiding them? Friends, if we're hiding, there are eternal consequences. May you and I be the people who embrace the goodness of God, and that forever live in a place where we continue to grow the blessings that are around us. To grow the 5 to 10 and the 2 to 4 so that the world may know there is a God of love. And a God of love that invites them into a life-giving relationship with Jesus the Christ. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln offered a proclamation for the beginning of a Thanksgiving Day. And I invite us to hear portions of that proclamation. Many years have passed since 1863, and yet, as I reread this week, it still speaks to our 2017 culture. So will you hear these words from President Lincoln? The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with blessings of fruitful fields and healthy skies. To these bounties which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and provoke the aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere, except in the theater for military conflict. While the theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, no human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that we should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, and with one heart and one voice, by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficiary Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, that they do also with humble penitence for our nationals' perverseness and disobedience, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the imposition of the Almighty hand to heal the wounds of the nation, to restore it as soon as may be consistent with divine purposes, to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and unity. Friends, as we prepare to feast on the abundance that has been given to us, may we never, ever hide the blessings that God has given to us. And may we fervently pray that all will enjoy peace, harmony, tranquility, and unity this day and forevermore. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we'll hear, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant."